It's Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. Usage of the community's bike share program is continuing to grow 6 months after its launch. On March 20th, white bikes with white baskets started zipping across Bloomington Normal. The town of Normal rolled out Bike Share 309. The contract with Zagster is for 47 bikes and 9 stations in mostly Normal, but also on the ISU and IWU campuses and at the McLean County Museum of History. In the studio to talk about Bike Share 309 at the 6 month point is Town of Normal planner and the town's unofficial bike policy coordinator, Mercy Davis. And Mercy, thanks for your time on Sound Ideas.
Well, thanks for having me, Mike.
How close are you coming to where you wanted to be or where you thought you might be in terms of usage at the 6 month point?
Well, we're maybe a hair behind, but this is all based on target numbers that were set by the company based on similar communities. We'd like to live up to those numbers, and we think we're probably going to get there by the end of the year. I wasn't sure where we'd be, though, at the end of September. It's just so darn beautiful outside right now.
And you have, you know, 2 more months of great riding weather, maybe even into November.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. As someone who rides a bike a lot myself, and I'm not particularly hardy, I regularly ride through Thanksgiving.
So started off kind of wet and cold, though.
Oh my gosh. It was such a drag. Oh, my gosh.
So more than 2,600 trips in 6 months and 882 members. What did Zagster say you should be around?
So they're saying by the end of this calendar year, we should be shooting for 3,300 trips. And as of just before this interview, we're close to 2,700 trips. So we need about, can I do the math that fast? Like 600 more rides?
in 2 or 3 months, you should be able.
That should be doable. That's doable to me.
And what about the number of members? 882 members at this point.
Right. Well, it's 893 now, Mike. You need
numbers,
the update.
The numbers keep moving quickly.
Right. And that's the number of users, people who've downloaded the app and ridden. So we're close to 900 right now. They were hoping we'd be at 1,800.
You're about halfway.
We are. But the interesting thing is that we have lower users, but the correct number of rides, which just means that fewer people are riding an awful darn lot, which is great.
The town is paying almost $87,000 a year for 3 years to Zagster to provide this community service. You're expecting to recoup some of that cost from user fees. Where are you on that?
We don't have as many annual members as we'd like, and that's where the bigger chunk of money could come from a user. If somebody just gets on, you know, downloads the app, rides a bike for an hour, and pays the hourly fee, that's $3. If we can get somebody to buy an annual membership, it's either $25 or $40. So clearly, that would bring in more money. Overall, though, it's still not going to come anywhere near the total cost of the program.
Sure. So we're at the 6 month point. Let's say you double those 2,600 trips over 12 months. That's 5,200 trips. The town's investment per ride is more than $16. Is that a reasonable subsidy?
Yeah, we think it is. I mean, you have to look at it beyond just that very simple math equation that you laid out. I mean, that's a valid place to start, and I think that's great. But you have to think about the overall economic impact of what people riding those bikes are also spending their money on. We know that people who are using bikes to get around on a trail, people who have come here to visit and ride a bike, those people are spending money doing other things. So it's very similar to other types of programs that government subsidizes. It's also very important to us to bring bicycle availability into our transportation system. I mean, this is a system-wide transportation initiative. Granted, we're starting in a fairly small geographic area, but we plan to spread out from there.
So you don't really know the full economic impact of what this program might be bringing to the community.
Oh, that is true. We do not know that. And keep in mind, the cost the town is paying was also offset by a donation from Advocate Bromen, so that number comes down a little bit, and then the user fees. But again, you're never going to get a math equation that looks like an amazing dollar amount per ride.
But you might expect that $16 per ride to decrease over the three-year life.
Absolutely.
At least the first three-year investment of the town into this program.
Absolutely.
Zagster provides the bikes, the technology, the app, the kiosks around the community, and pays someone locally to maintain the bikes and rebalance the bikes, or making sure the bikes are in good working order and making sure there aren't empty kiosks. Are you satisfied with the maintenance end and the rebalancing at this point?
Yeah, it's been going really well lately. It's been very interesting to see the difference between summer and the start of the school year. So, of course, over the summer, the stations at ISU were not used terribly often, especially Tri-Towers and Cardinal Court. Now, of course, the reverse is true. Tri-Towers is so busy, and we routinely see bikes coming from Tri-Towers ending up at Schrader, which is just what we assumed would happen because that's such a popular destination for classes. That's, you know. Interestingly, Cardinal Court isn't getting used as much as we thought, and we think that's because they have such great bus service there that loads of people that live out there just get on the bus all the time. So it'll be interesting to see how we might boost those numbers over time.
These are basically regular cruiser bikes. bikes. They're not the heavy or heavy-duty bikes you might see used in large metropolitan bike share programs. Are they holding up okay at the six-month point?
Yeah, they really are. The mechanic goes by once a week at least and checks every single bike, and so that really helps keep them in good repair, airing the tires, making sure the brakes are adjusted, et cetera. So we can avoid a lot of problems by just keeping up on the maintenance.
Sure, and that's, you know, if you have a crummy bike or a bike that doesn't shift well or doesn't stop well, that certainly affects the customer experience and their willingness to come back and use it again.
Absolutely.
What's your impression of Zagster so far? A good partner?
Yeah, they've been a good partner. As far as I understand, they're expanding just exponentially across the country. So I think they're having some growing pains. Just it's a lot of different cities and communities to manage, but I think they're doing a pretty good job of it. It will be interesting to see where they're at as a company 2 or 3 years from now. I really have no idea.
I mean, they've picked a niche community, right? A certain size.
Right. They seem to be aiming for communities of our size or large corporate or university campuses, which kind of function as about the same size as normal. So yeah, this seems to be their niche.
What about their commitment to customer service and customer experience?
You know, they answer all the calls 24/7 from riders who are having issues. And I myself have used that line and it is very smooth. They have great answers. They put the bike into the system. I mean, through the, you know, their technology with the mechanic, they let the mechanic know what's going on. So it's been really a good experience that way.
What was your call about?
I was at one of the stations and I just noticed that one of the bikes had the front light, the headlight was a little bit dangly and it just needed to be tightened up.
So, and that got to the mechanic and the mechanic fixed it.
Yeah.
So what sort of things, if any, are you hearing from customers?
You know, I know of people who ride every day because they just don't own their own bike and their, you know, their kid got them a membership. And so to them, riding a bike is just really fun. It's a great way to get exercise. And those people are just effusive. Like they're so happy about it. They're so grateful. I see a lot of people out who are with like what appears to be a friend who has their own bike. And so it's like one friend with a bike takes another friend out and they can now get a bike and go for a ride together, which is fantastic to see. I've had people call me who are coming to visit our community and say, hey, is that bike share program still around? How do I use it? So I'm getting a lot of really good feedback.
Maybe I wasn't entirely accurate here. I said 47 bikes. It's actually 45 bikes and two trikes, two adult tricycles.
It's true.
Are they getting any use? And what are you hearing about those?
You know, it's funny. The one trike in particular that's in Uptown, that's the one that gets used every single day by the same person who I know. I only know her through this program. But the other one is typically an advocate, thinking that they're the population of people at Advocate, whether visitors, not really patients, I guess. There might be more people who would skew towards a tricycle level of comfort. But I don't actually think it's getting a ton of use. And so that's something we'll keep an eye on. We could always switch it out with a different kind of bike. Zagster offers like 8 different kinds of bikes. You can even get like a side-by-side bike if somebody
tandem.
Someone who's like vision impaired could ride with a sighted individual. Bada bing, bada boom. Pretty awesome.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy in with Mercy Davison with the Town of Normal to talk about Bike Share 309. The program is just past the six-month point. I see people using the service that seem to be out for a nice recreational ride. I also see people, you know, with messenger bags or items in the basket that seem to be riding with purpose. They're going somewhere. Do you have any way to know the breakdown of recreational versus transportation-oriented riders? And does the town even care?
It would certainly be great to know. Right now, we have no real way to track that. I don't know if Zagster itself could do some sort of surveying through the app itself. They have a lot of ways to reach out to customers directly. But yeah, I mean, anecdotally, just seeing people, most people appear to be recreational. But the other day I was driving on Parkway Plaza near Portillo's, and I saw a guy on a bike share 309 coming across veterans with the light, following the instructions, following the law. And he had a half gallon of orange juice in the basket and other groceries. And he looked to be about college age. And I thought, that's kind of awesome.
So he took a trip to,
to get groceries.
A grocery store in that area and got groceries and was riding back. Great. So you mentioned this, you alluded to it, characterize this service as a transportation and mobility service for the community or part of that piece of that piece of the puzzle for mobility in the community.
Yeah.
How does it fit?
That's definitely a goal of the program. I mean, we just know that more and more people are trying to get around communities all across the country without having to own their own car. Or maybe they're in a family where there's one car instead of two or three. And so by putting these bikes out in key destinations, we're trying to make it easier for people to make that decision that maybe we don't need that second or third car. When I get to my job at ISU, if I need something, I can hop on a bike share bike, do my business, come back. It's great. the reality is, just based on, again, anecdotal observations, is that there's a lot of recreational riding going on, which is also really helpful for other things like keeping people off the streets, for as far as traffic congestion goes, promoting health and wellness. It's good for cutting down pollution. So you kind of can't lose with people on bikes. But the transportation piece I see evolving more over time.
You mentioned the kiosks after school started at Tri-Towers and at Schrader. Where are the most popular kiosks or stations to check out and return bikes? And are they the same? In other words, is the kiosk where the most checkouts are, is that the same one as the one where they get the most returns?
It does tend to work out that way. I think there's a lot of out and back riding where someone will start at one station and end at the same station.
But the beauty of a bike share program is you don't have to do that.
You don't have to. You really don't. Or like in the case of people coming from Tri-Towers, going to class at Schrader, they might get on a different bike at that same station and ride it back to Tri-Towers at the end of the day. So so that certainly is happening all the time.
But most popular kiosks? Then?
Oh, the one in Uptown station, or the one in Uptown is the most heavily used, followed by Watterson.
And that's at the corner. The one in Uptown is at the corner of
Broadway and North Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Does this program send a quality of life message of any sort to people or organizations in this community?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it really is part of what makes Normal a great place to live. I mean, you can ask most people what their favorite amenity in our community is, and it's going to be the Constitution Trail for a lot of people. And to give people the opportunity to get on a bike and be on the trail is really fantastic, especially for people who have visitors coming to town. To be able to tell a visitor, you know, I live in Normal, come visit me. Oh, by the way, we have this amazing bike share program and an awesome trail. You know,
is the fact that the community has a bike share program being used in any way to market the community to potential employers or people considering locating to Bloomington Normal?
We are certainly working with the EDC to have it included in their information. I believe they have information on their website. The CVB has done a ton to help us promote it. It's on their website. Just a couple days ago, there was a big photo shoot for a piece in Travel Illinois, which is a great publication. And so we're definitely getting notice. And I would have to assume that this would help attract people.
I mean, it might not be the reason somebody moves to the community, but it might be a reason.
Exactly. There are very few things other than a job that's the reason.
Sure.
But yeah, this should be a reason.
Although what we know about millennials is they often choose a place to live first and then look for the job.
Absolutely. I mean, speaking of that, the comprehensive plan, when that comes out later this fall, we talk a lot about quality of life because there's a lot about our community that's really great. And we're never going to be a place with an ocean or a place with a mountain, but we can be a place with an amazing trail and an amazing bike share system.
So what goes into the process to decide whether this program stays where it's at with the current number of kiosks and 47 bikes, or expands, or scales back and ends? What goes into that calculation?
Oh, it's a good question. The town's pretty well committed to this three-year concept. So the system, in theory, could just be maintained at this size and distribution for 3 years. Over this winter, though, Zagster is going to start reaching out to potential sponsors who might want to install new stations to expand the system. The town's not in a position to make this bigger right now. But other partners could come on board, particularly places that have a lot of, like, university students living there, for example. They might want a bike station. In fact, some of them have asked me about it. And so those conversations will be happening over the winter.
So what is your, you know, what do you think will happen? Do you think this, I mean, it'll continue for the 3 years, and then what?
Boy, I just see this stuff getting more popular rather than less popular. I mean, money is always going to be the issue. But as far as it being a great idea and being loved, I think that's going to continue and increase over time.
And the sponsorships, does that give the sponsorship, the sponsor, the right to locate the bike share where it's convenient for the sponsor or where it's convenient for the system?
They get to choose because they'd be the one paying for it. So if they want to pay for a station, which would be like 10 spaces and 5 bicycles, and they want to put it like where they have a bunch of residents living, that's great. They'd get their logo on that station's sign. They'd get their logo on one panel of the basket there, but it would tie into our program. Like, they're not going to have their own mechanic and their own contract. It's all going to be folded in with us, but certainly they'd get to pick the location. So I've thought of some places that maybe would want a sponsorship just to have their advertising out there, but they really aren't in a good location for a bike station. That would be fantastic.
I mean, an obvious partner is the city of Bloomington. At what point does someone in Normal have a conversation with someone in Bloomington to say, you know, it's time for you to sort of step up here and maybe also think about subsidizing this and expand this into Bloomington more? Because right now, the two stations that are in Bloomington are paid for by Normal.
Yeah, that is correct. And we're planning to keep with that for this 3-year period. To be fair, you know, we did talk to City of Bloomington early on before we made the decisions, and they just weren't in a place where they could make a quick decision. And finding sponsors was just proving to be more complicated than we thought. So we didn't want to make it more complicated by bringing in lots of other big partners. We just wanted to get it started.
So after the third year, you might, or leading up to the third year, you might be talking to Bloomington.
Absolutely. And they expressed interest at the time, even that the idea of it, they liked it. It was all good. They weren't on a timeline that could accommodate our timeline. So.
And any expansion at this point will be sponsorship based.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
So in March, when we talked, you said the town focused essentially on the Main Street corridor through the community. Is there potential for usage growth by putting kiosks in lower income neighborhoods where maybe people don't have access to 2 or 3 cars?
You know, it's an interesting question. We certainly talked about that to start with and decided to go with stations that just seem the most likely to succeed. And I think we still need to get a few more months worth of data under our belts. The issue is going to be that we're not really in a position to pay to expand the system in the next year or so. And so unless a sponsor came along and wanted to pick a location that correlated with, you know, a lower or more moderate income neighborhood, you know, that could work great. If it doesn't, we're probably looking at a couple more years of status quo from the town end.
What's a sponsorship cost, or is there a scale?
The way I understand it from Zagster, because they would work directly with Zagster, and it's $9,000, and that's, you know, it's an annual thing. And for that, you get a 10 space station and 5 bikes, and then you're advertising all over the place on the app, on the website, everywhere else.
Okay, Mercy Davison is the Town of Normal planner. You're involved in bike policy and programming for the Town of Normal. Thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
Well, thank you, Mike. See you at the Bike Rodeo.
I'll be at the Bike Rodeo. That's on the 29th. It's an opportunity for kids in Uptown in the Parkinson lot to learn more about bicycle safety. Helmets?
Free helmets.
Free helmets.
Courtesy of Advocate Foundation and the Friends of the Constitution Trail.
All right. It's an obvious music choice, but is Queen okay?
I love Queen.
All right.
Go for it.
All right. Bicycle song Queen. Thanks, Mercy. It's Sound Ideas on 89.1 FM, GLT, and WGLT.org.
Bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my